The people of Israel brought the Ark of the Lord to Jerusalem and put it in the city of David, but the tabernacle and the altar of burnt offering remained in Gibeon. David organized the religious life of the nation by appointing priests and Levites to minister before the Lord in both places. Zadok, the priest, and his associates offered the sacrifices prescribed by the law on the altar of burnt offering in front of the tabernacle. Musicians and singers were appointed to praise God and give thanks to his name, while other families of Levites became gatekeepers of the sanctuary in Gibeon. David also established a service of praise to be celebrated before the Ark of God in Jerusalem to praise the Lord morning and evening for all his goodness. Those who ministered before the Ark were talented musicians, able to play many instruments, and some were poets who wrote psalms, hymns, and other sacred songs. After David was settled in his palace and his kingdom was at peace, he said one day to Nathan the prophet, "Here I am, living in a palace of cedar, while the Ark of God remains in a tent." He had been thinking of building a temple for the Lord to house the Ark of God in Jerusalem. Nathan replied, "Go ahead and do it, for the Lord is with you." But that night the word of the Lord came to Nathan with a message for the king. He was to tell David that God would not allow a man of war, who had fought many battles and shed much blood, to build a house for his name. The Lord had never ordered a permanent sanctuary to be set up for him. He had never said to any of the leaders of his people, "Why have you not built me a house of cedar?" He had always dwelt in a tent, from the time he had brought Israel up out of Egypt to the present day. He had moved from one camping site to another, and had been with the Israelites wherever they went. The Lord reminded David that he had been taken as a shepherd boy from his father's flocks to be ruler over the Lord's people, and that God had subdued all his enemies before him, making his name glorious. God promised to give to the people of Israel a place of their own, where they could live undisturbed and in peace. "Now," said the Lord to David, "when your days are over and you rest with your fathers, I will raise up a son to succeed you, and I will establish his kingdom. He is the one who will build a house for my name, a man of peace, whose kingdom will be established forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he does wrong, I will punish him, but my love will never be taken away from him, as I took it away from Saul. And so your house and your throne will be established forever." When the king heard these words, he went to the tent where the ark was laid and came before the Lord. Humbly and with a grateful heart, he accepted the wonderful promises of God. "Who am I, O sovereign Lord?" he said, "and what is my family that you have brought me this far? And as if this were not enough in your sight, O sovereign Lord, you have also spoken about the future of the house of your servant. What more can David say? How great you are, O sovereign Lord! There is no one like you, and there is no other God. You have established your people Israel as your very own, and you, O Lord, have become their God. And now do as you promised, and establish the house of your servant David before you. O Lord Almighty, God of Israel, your words are trustworthy. Now be pleased to bless the house of your servant, for you have spoken, and with your blessing it will be blessed forever." The Lord had said to David that a son, who was yet to be born, would one day sit on the throne of Israel and build a temple to the glory of God. This great covenant of kingship spoke of two events, one that would take place in the near future, the reign of Solomon and his descendants up to the time of the Babylonian captivity, and the other far distant, with the coming of a greater son of David, the Messiah, whose kingdom would endure forever. Solomon built a house to the glory of God in Jerusalem that was later destroyed, but the spiritual house being built by the Messiah, which is made up of all true believers, will last throughout eternity. "For we are the temple of the living God," said the Apostle Paul in his second letter to the Corinthians. Next episode, David's victories.